Well, welcome everyone. It is great to have you join us online today, and I'm excited about our new series, Ask It. And it's the question that answers just about everything. And we're going to spend a few weeks on one question. And the reason why is because life is complicated under normal circumstances, but there's nothing normal about your life or my life in 2020, right? And ultimately, life is complicated and you want to get it right. And so do I. And for those of you with kids or grandkids, you want to help them get it right as well, don't you? My hope is the question that we're going to focus on over the next few weeks will become a centerpiece that will help you with all the decisions you need to make now and in the future. And again, for parents and grandparents, if you can begin to drill this into the hearts and minds of the children in your life, it's a game changer. Because as we're going to see, it's a question that will save you a lot of time, a lot of money, and a lot of tears. In fact, it's a question that if you'd been asking it throughout your life, it would have already saved you a lot of time, a lot of money, and a lot of tears, and a lot of emotional heartache. If you were to go back to your greatest regret in life and superimpose this question over that moment or that season of your life, you'd probably have been able to avoid your greatest regret simply by asking and processing and applying this one question. And I know this is true because, unfortunately, I didn't ask this question for too many years of my life, even as a Jesus follower. But if I had implemented this one question from a young age, I would have avoided truckloads of complication and pain in my life, as well as pain that I caused people that I loved. So the good news is, if you're young and you'll apply what we learned today and over the next few weeks, you're going to be so far ahead of your peers. And if you're older, while there's no going back to change the past and some of the consequences we live with now, it's never too late to make a change for a better future. Now, one of the things that I love about the scriptures, especially the New Testament, is it's packed with incredible, rich, applicable, practical guidance for how we live our best lives, which if there's a God who loves us, that's what you would expect, right? And this powerful question that we're going to drill into is found in the book called Ephesians chapter 5. And I encourage you to look it up later. And if you're not a Bible person, for just the next few minutes, I'd like for you to kind of suspend your skepticism about the Bible, because we're not looking at the Bible. We're looking at the words of a man named Paul, whom most of you have heard of. The Apostle Paul is a historical figure. Everybody believes there was a Paul, and he wrote about half of the New Testament. And as I always say about Paul, he steps onto the pages of history as someone who is fully committed to eradicating Christianity. Because as a Jewish leader, he saw Christianity as a threat and a knockoff Jewish cult in the first century. So his life goal was to get rid of Christianity. He got permission from the leaders in Jerusalem to go around arresting Christians, putting them in jail, seeing them executed. Yet in one day, he went from trying to get rid of all these Jesus followers to becoming a Jesus follower. In one day, he went from being a Christian hunter to a Christian leader, from arrest them and put them in jail and execute them to spending the rest of his life telling people they should become a Jesus follower. And you should wonder why, and it is worth investigating what happened. Also, if you're not a Christian, you get to decide whether you want to ask this question or not. But if you are a Christian, this is required of us. But whether you are a full, just wherever you are in the faith spectrum, as we unpack these verses together, you'll understand why it's so important and so valuable for you. So the Apostle Paul is writing a letter. It got labeled Ephesians, but we know this letter was circulated to a bunch of churches around the Mediterranean rim where Paul planted these churches. And in this letter, he's helping Christians to understand how to live their lives as a Jesus follower. He says, look, you used to be in darkness. Now you're in light. You used to just go along deceiving and mistreating people, but now you're a Jesus follower, which means you need to treat people not the way they treated you, but the way your Heavenly Father, through Christ, treated you. You've got to live a different kind of life. So he talks about deceit and immorality and the way they talk to each other, and he's just very practical. But he realizes, I'm asking people far away in a letter to embrace a totally different lifestyle, and this is tough. Because they live in a culture a lot like our culture, one that's not conducive to this kind of living and transparency and honesty and forgiveness and morality. So he backs up and he gives them a baby step. Essentially, he says, if you'll begin to look at every opportunity, invitation, and decision through this one simple grid, it's going to give you a head start as it relates to living as somebody who's in what he refers to the kingdom of light rather than the kingdom of darkness. He says, be careful then how you live. And the Greek term careful actually refers to look around. And the word live is actually to walk. So literally, the picture is that you're walking where there are things that you don't want to step on or step in. It's like those of you that have had babies or small children in your house. When they're really little, you pay attention to where you're walking because you don't want to step on them or their toys, right? So like Legos and bare feet was always one of my favorites. Or some of you, like my wife and I, you have a dog, and which means I don't just go traipsing around willy-nilly in the backyard, especially in bare feet. Why? Because there are things that I do not want to step in. So I pay attention where I step and I walk carefully, right? So just kind of a hand up emoji if you're tracking with me. Paul says, just like that, life's complicated. So as you walk through life, be careful. Look down, look around, watch your six, look ahead, because you don't want to hurt you and you don't want to hurt others. So don't be careless how you walk, how you live your life. And then he says specifically what he means by this, not as unwise, but as wise. And in this verse, he equates unwise with careless, and he equates wise with careful. Unwise is just do whatever with whomever, whenever, and don't worry about the consequences. Careful is think about where you've been, pay attention to what's going on around you, and look where you're headed and where you're going to end up. And then he continues, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Now, in a few weeks, we're going to come back and look specifically at this word, opportunity, because this is a time word. Literally, he's saying, I want you to take advantage of every opportunity because you have a limited amount of your greatest and most precious and irreplaceable asset, time. So be careful. Look back, look around, and look ahead and be wise. Make good use of your time because the days are evil. Now, what does he mean by this? What he's saying to his Ephesian friends and to all of us is, you live in a time that if you just lift anchor and go with the current of culture, you'll end up in a place you don't want to be. It's like those of us that have been in the ocean and had the undercurrent or the riptide take us in a direction that we didn't really want to go. If you just move with the current of culture relationally, you're going to end up somewhere relationally that you don't want to be. You just move with the flow of culture financially, you'll look back and wonder, how did I get here? This is not where I wanted to be financially. When you think about your relationships with your kids or your husband or your wife, when you think about your profession, Paul says, look, the days that we live in, there are currents. And if we ignore them or we just give into them, they will take us in directions and destinations that none of us ultimately want to go. So consequently, you must not be careful or careless. And then he says something specifically to Christians. He leans into those of us who claim to be Jesus followers, and he says this, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Now, this is a bit of a dig of those of us that look for loopholes. And Christians, all Christians, in fact, all religious people of any religion look for loopholes. We all look for ways around what we know is right. Well, I know it says that, but. Or I know he or she asked me to, but. Or I know it's probably the right thing to do, but. And we all look for loopholes and we all have excuses. So the Apostle Paul, because he knows this about us, he says, look, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Now, but is actually capitalized. And the reason why is because in the Greek language, this is the most emphatic version of the word for but. It's a big but. Yeah, I said it. So this is huge. It's emphatic contrast. He says, look, don't be foolish and stupid and deceive yourself. Don't look for loopholes and make excuses. Don't pretend like you don't understand or you didn't know. I want you to understand, or literally face up to, own up to, tell yourself the truth about what the Lord's will, whether you like his will or not. He's saying to Christians, look, you know. You know what you ought to do. You know the difference between right and wrong. So just quit playing around. Quit playing games. Quit talking yourself into things you should be talking yourself out of, and quit talking yourself out of things you should be talking yourself into. Quit trying to find authors and bloggers and social media warriors that just simply agree with your point of view and what you want to hear to justify your loopholes and your excuses. He says, I want you to pause. I want you to face up to what you know God wants of you and for you. And then I want you to do it. Now, those are the verses. But the central part of what he's teaching here is where he says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. So the litmus test for every opportunity and decision isn't what is everybody else doing or what can I get away with. The question is this: what is the wise thing for me to do? So this is the question that we're going to ask and unpack and tease out for the next few weeks. So I want you to repeat with me. You're sitting there with your bedhead and pajamas. Just repeat this with me. What is the wise thing for me to do? One more time. What is the wise thing for me to do? Now, what we're going to do over the next few minutes is look at this in three dimensions. I'm going to make it very personal and uncomfortable. Okay? So because the easiest person in the world for you to deceive and get into trouble is you, right? Just like me. Very few of us look back at our worst decision and go, I don't have a clue how I got myself into that. You know exactly how you got yourself into it, just like I know in my situations. And we'll talk more about it in 2 weeks, but at its core, you started with one unwise decision that led to another, that led to another, and suddenly you found yourself in a big fat mess. So Paul says, look, let's be honest with ourselves and face up to what we know God's will is for us and stop looking for loopholes because we don't like God's will. And for every invitation and opportunity and decision, ask myself, what is the wise thing for me to do? Now, let's look at this in three dimensions. The first one is this: in light of my past experience, what's the wise thing for me to do? So again, let's say this out loud. You're alone in front of the computer or phone. Your family's around. They're going to think you're weird. It doesn't matter. They're all used to seeing you talk to a screen anyways. So let's say this out loud together. All right, here. In light of my past experience, what's the wise thing for me to do? Now, this is so important. See, your past is your past. It's not my past. And my past is my past, not yours. So what may be okay for you to do may not be okay for me to do because of my past experience. So in light of your specific past experience, and this is really important, and then we'll move on. Do you know why history keeps repeating itself for you financially and relationally and spiritually and mentally? Part of it's because you don't ask and act on this question. You think somehow you can do what you did the last time and have different results this time. Because you believe like we all believe. We all believe we can manage outcomes. I can handle it. I know last time it didn't go well, but this time is going to be different. And besides, I learned some lessons, so this time is going to be different. Paul says, come on, don't lie to yourself. In light of your past experience, what's the wise thing? Not for everybody else. What's the wise thing for you to do? And you kind of hate that, don't you? I mean, just kind of hands up if you can acknowledge we hate that. And you know why we hate this question? It's because what was a little bit foggy and fuzzy, the mist falls. And suddenly, if I'm going to make a decision based on what's wise for me, based on my past experience, unfortunately, I know exactly what I should or shouldn't do. I know exactly where I should and shouldn't go or should and shouldn't invite. I know exactly why this is a bad idea for me. So if you want history to stop repeating itself financially and relationally, you ask and then you act on this question. The second one is similar. In light of my current circumstances, what's the wise thing for me to do? In light of what's going on right now, what's the wise thing to do? So again, let's read this one out loud with a little passion. Ready? In light of my current circumstances, what's the wise thing to do? So, and again, this isn't for everyone. It's in light of where you are emotionally or financially, in light of my vulnerabilities. What's the wise thing for me to do? Not for everybody, not forever, but for me. It's a pandemic and tomorrow's uncertain, or next semester's a new semester and you really need to knock it out of the park. In light of your current circumstances, what's the wise thing for you to do? You've gotten some stimulus money, but again, the future's a little uncertain. In light of your current circumstances, what's the wise thing for you to do? In light of where you are in your singleness or your relationship or your marriage, what's the wise thing for you to do? In light of where you're currently at with your kids, what's the wise thing for you to do? This isn't necessarily right or wrong or legal or illegal. This isn't what everybody else is doing. In light of your current circumstances, financially, with your friends, with trying to get out of debt, in light of what's going on in your life right now, what's the wise thing for you to do? And then connected to this, and maybe the most powerful and dynamic aspect of all, in light of my hopes and dreams for the future, what's the wise thing for me to do? Ready to read this one? In light of my hopes and dreams for the future, What's the wise thing to do? See, we're all old enough to have had at some point in our past thrown away some future hopes and dreams. And what a tragedy it is to sacrifice and trade in what you want in the future for something you want now, that at some point you're going to wish you could give up and trade in to have back the future opportunity that you lost. So let me offer you a variation of this question. I learned it several years ago. I think it's powerful, and it's this. What do I want now, and what do I want most? I'm telling you, this component alone, if you'll burn it into your mind and form the habit of asking, answering, and acting on this question, it has the power to change the trajectory of your entire life. Some of you, what adds to your challenge of making wise decisions is that you have people in your life that live for the present and live for the now. They only think about 2 weeks ahead, whenever they're going to get paid again, but no further. And each day or each week is just simply about trying to satisfy their current appetites, which never seem to be satisfied. And they cycle through relationships and keep swiping right or sleep with whomever they want. Or they just spend whatever they have, probably more than what they have. And when's the next concert or trip? When's the next fun thing? But you have hopes and dreams. You have a vision for your life. And Paul would tell you the worst thing you can do is allow people around you to rob you of your future because they've got you so locked in on the here and the now and living in the moment. So in light of your future hopes and dreams of where you want to be someday, what's the wise thing for you? You want to finish well with him or with her together in the future. That determines what you do today. You want to end up somewhere better professionally. Well, that determines what you do today. You want to be secure financially in the future. Well, that determines what you do today. And if you're like me, I mean, don't you wish you'd been asking and acting on that question your whole life? I mean, isn't it true? Whether you're a Christian or religious or not, isn't it true? You'd probably be better off relationally, financially, even emotionally, if you had been asking and acting on just that question. It's that powerful. So let me put this whole thing together for us. In light of my past experience, current circumstances, and hopes and dreams for the future, what's the wise thing to do? So again, everybody at home and online, just 1, 2, 3. In light of my past experience, current circumstances, and hopes and dreams for the future, what's the wise thing to do? Now, I'll admit, I feel goofy asking you to do that, but this is a game changer. And you want to get it right, don't you? I mean, don't we all want to experience fulfillment and peace and joy and a sense of I'm being successful in life, in relationships and financially, as a man or a woman or just as a human being? And the good news is Jesus said that he came that we might have life, experience life in the full. And here's what I know. Nobody plans to screw up their lives. Nobody. Nobody gets married a first time looking for their second marriage. Nobody goes into their financial and professional life looking forward to suffocating debt or bankruptcy. Nobody goes into a healthy relationship looking for ways to make it unhealthy. Nobody plans to wreck and ruin and screw up their lives. And that's why we as a church community exist, because we're here to help. Now, we don't normally have homework as a church, but here's your homework for just this week. I just want you to test drive this. In light of my past experience, current circumstances, and hopes and dreams for the future, what's the wise thing to do? I just want you to ask this question so that you would know what you would do if you were wise. That's it. I'm not even asking you to do anything different. I'm not asking you to break up with someone or go turn a car back in and get out of a lease. I just want you to start a new habit at every invitation, opportunity, and decision to ask, what's the wise thing for me to do? Because you owe it to yourself to know the answer to that question, whether you do anything about it or not. So, what's the wise thing to do in your relationships, your finances, your education, your career? And here's what I want you to think about, and this is so important, and then we're done. If something in you resists this idea, you've just discovered something about you. If there's something in you that says, you know, I'm not going to ask that stupid question. Let me just tell you something that you've learned about you. You don't have your best interest in mind. Now, if you don't have your best interest in mind, who's going to have your best interest in mind? Maybe if there's a God and a God actually inspired these words and he loves you, it's possible that God has your best interest in mind even when you don't. because he doesn't want you to wake up in a place you don't want to be. He doesn't want you to end up somewhere you never planned or wanted to be. And at the very best, you don't want the people that are depending on you and that love you to watch you end up in places you don't want to be. So regardless of what you think about me or God or Church of the Bible, you owe it to yourself to start asking, in light of my past experience, current circumstances, and hopes and dreams for the future, what's the wise thing to do? So this week, all I want you to do is ask it. Let's pray together. God, this can be so challenging because we battle our emotions and our feelings and all the dynamics of a moment. But God, I genuinely pray and ask you for myself, for everyone that is watching or listening right now, that God, for just this week, that you would show up in an unusually tangible way as we actually test drive this principle, as we face decisions. And Father, there's so much in our lives and in our world, in our country that's uncertain right now. But God, you've not fallen off your throne and you are trustworthy. So I pray for all of us, Father, that we would experience something fresh and new and refreshing as we lean into this principle to ask, what is the wise thing to do? Because you love us and because you ultimately want us to end up in places that we want for ourselves. So I ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.